Now, we have in verses 11 and 13, and he himself gave some. Now, you'll notice that I'm now reading my own translation. I trust it might be helpful. And he himself gave some apostles and some prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. Now, he didn't give them to become that. These are not gifts that he's giving to these men, although he had done that. But he's saying then he took these men who have certain gifts and he gives them to the church. For what purpose? In order to the perfecting or the equipping of the saints under the work of ministering and building up of the body of Christ till we all attain under the unity of the faith and of the fullness of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, this may sound selfish. I trust it's not. What's the purpose of the church in the world? It's to complete itself, might grow up. Now, he himself here is very emphatic. And he himself, the Lord Jesus, is the one who gave the gifts. And he is the one that has given them. He's the one that has the authority. Now, he gave some that were given the gift of an apostle that they are given now to the church. For what purpose? That the apostle might do, as Paul says, Paul an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, God the Father raised him from the dead. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now this office, by virtue of its very nature, has long since disappeared from the church. Now prophets here, I think, are used as they are elsewhere in the epistle. They're New Testament prophets. And I think it means preachers. These men were given, as were the apostles, particular insight into the doctrines of the faith. And they were under the immediate influence and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which distinguishes them, I think, from teachers today, although they were preachers in their day. Now, the Lord Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, he did two things. That he took the Old Testament saints out of paradise up there, where he is. And then he gave gifts to the church down here. The members of the church all are given a gift. And then he took some of these gifted men that he'd given gifts to, and he gave them to certain churches. Or he's given to the whole church these gifted men. And there are the apostles, and there are the prophets, and there's no one around today with the office of apostle. But actually, the apostles belong to us today and the prophets. Now, they themselves, they've passed off the scene long ago, but they're still members of his church. And it does not exist only on earth. Part of it's up yonder in heaven with him. And they are part of the host, though they passed the flood and are in the presence of God. They're still members of the church, and we have apostles and prophets. Well, may I say to you, that we do, and right now, aren't we studying the epistle to the Ephesians? Who wrote that, by the way? Apostle Paul? Well, where is he? He's up yonder with Christ. You remember he said, absent from the body, present with Christ. And he says it's far better to go and be with the Lord. Well, he's taken the far better route now, and he's up yonder, but he's a member of the church, and we're studying his epistle today. So he's given to the church the apostles and prophets, and the evangelists were the traveling missionaries and pastors and teachers. And the one that is the office of a teacher is one interests me naturally a great deal. Because if I don't have that gift, I don't have any, that's for sure. And you'll find that that gift is mentioned in Romans 12 and then again in 1 Corinthians 12, 28 and 29 and then again in 1 Timothy 3, 2. Now, God has given these men to the church that the church might be brought to full maturation where there would be inhibitions, that the church wouldn't make a nut of itself, that the church would not appear ignorant before the world. And the teachers in all of these are to prepare the church that they might do the work. Do you notice what he says here? the work of ministering and building up the body of Christ. Now, we call a pastor of a church a minister. But now, if you're a Christian today, you're as much a minister as he is. You don't have to be ordained to be a minister. He has a certain gift. And this is something else I'd like to say. I do not believe that any man that is in the church today has all the gifts. Dr. Chafer used to say he never met a man he thought he had both gifts. He said at one time that he led his own singing and did the preaching when he started out as an evangelist, and a dear lady came to him one night and said, "Dr. Chafer, you're doing too much." He said, "You ought not to lead the singing and do the preaching both." And she said, "Why don't you get somebody to do the preaching?" Well, may I say to you, he was a musician, but I thought he was a great teacher also. So that the interesting thing is that we have today the viewpoint that the pastor has several gifts and that one of them is the minister. Well, he is to teach the Word of God so that his members are those that are in under him, that they might do the work of the ministry. They might be the one to go out and witness. And today we have the church going in reverse, and a great many people think it's the business of the pastor or the pastoral staff to do all the visitation. I think it's the business of the members. That's their responsibility and the thing that they should do. Here is a little article that I took out years ago of a bulletin of a church back east, and it reads like this. For centuries, the principal responsibility for evangelism has been borne by the clergy. The laity were neither called to evangelistic activity nor believed it to be their responsibility. One of the most significant developments in the church, possibly the single most important development in recent centuries, is the revival of lay activity and the growing recognition that the layman is called to a ministry no less important than that of the minister. Elton Trueblood has said, "The Reformation has opened up the Bible to the common man. A new Reformation will open up the ministry to the common man." Now, may I say that I think that's a very fine article, and that we are seeing laymen becoming more involved, and so many young people, young Christians, getting involved in doing the witnessing. Now, they need teaching, and they need teachers. I think that's the only reason in the world they'll listen to me, is because they feel like I can teach. And by the way, there are folk that get a great deal excited when they hear somebody using my material. I had a call some time ago from a lady back in Ohio, and there's apparently a preacher back there that does a pretty good job of imitating me, and the Lord help Ohio for having a man like that. But nevertheless, she said he's teaching the book of Ruth, and says he not only follows your book and follows your teaching, he uses your illustration. And she says, "I think it's terrible that you ought to stop him." Oh, I said, "Is he doing a good job?" And she said, "Yes, he is. He's doing a fine job." Well, I said, "Praise the Lord." I always felt like somebody would come along and do it much better, and I did it. And she says, "Yes, but he ought not to do that." I said, "I don't see why he shouldn't. My business is to try to prepare the others to do the work of the ministry. And this man apparently is using material, and he's free to use it." Now, I know a preacher that I saw an article that he wrote, and he said, "You can't use this without permission." Who in the world does he think he is? Why, we're to build up the church, and that material ought to be free for anybody to use. And every now and then I get letters from ministers, one the other day, and he said, "I want to preach this sermon of yours. Is it all right?" Well, I said, "One thing I ask of you, do it better than I did, brother. That's the important thing. But use the material, of course, because, my friend, we're to build up the body of Christ today." And it rejoices me that when I get letters and people say, "I took your material or your book and I used it out yonder, I used a tape." I thank God for that, my friend. We're to get the Word of God out today. And that's the important thing, that these men have been given to the church for the building up of the church. And that's one reason that I went out of the pastorate into the wider ministry of radio. I found out that by radio I could build up more people. And very candidly, and I'm talking to you very frankly, but don't expect your pastor to do it all. He's there to train you, that you might do the work of the minister and that the church might be built up to full maturation, that we might not act like a bunch of nuts today, that we might give a good, clear-cut, intelligent witness in the world. And may I add this? I'm very frank, as you know. I think that the greatest sin in the local church today is the ignorance of the man sitting in the pew, doesn't know the Word of God. And that's tragic. I'd hate to get into an airplane that the pilot didn't know any more about flying than the average church member knows about Christianity or the Word of God. I'll be honest with you, I don't think that the plane would make it, my friend. I think it would crash maybe before it even got 10 feet in the air. Now, that is the condition of the church today. It's another reason. We believe that getting the Word of God out today is pretty important. Will you forgive us for going into detail here like this?